Out East, written by John Glynn and read by Michael Crouch.
From my mom and dad. Author's note. The events of this memoir took place during a flexion point in my life. To cross-check my memories, I combed through a digital footprint of photos, emails, text messages, G-chats, and social media posts. But I never could have constructed this book without the generosity of my Montauk housemates. The individuals who appear in these pages gifted me their thoughts, experiences, and secrets from that summer. They revealed aspects of their lives to me I never before knew. Any liberties in perspective are animated by these conversations and grounded in the facts as they were relayed to me. Errors are solely my own. In some instances, I changed names or identifying characteristics to protect anonymity. I hope I've done our story justice. While Montauk became our sanctuary, we resided there only at the pleasure of its locals. My indelible gratitude to the people of Montauk, in particular Callie and Lindsay Stavola, who read this memoir with a keen local eye. Thank you to the entire community for sharing your sand-swept home with us at a time when we needed it most. Winter. Chapter 1. Our summer began in the winter. Chauvin bought the tree, and Evan hung the lights. I wrote the Facebook invitation and sent it to 86 people. We lashed a wreath to the door. We adhered stockings to the walls with duct tape. Caroline and Charlotte were making red and green jello shots. Lizzie was bringing three handles of Svedka. We spent the day vacuuming, scrubbing, dusting, and by 6 p.m., our three-bedroom apartment, glinting, immaculate, was warming with scents of pine and cinnamon and the cloying multi-purpose cleaner we used to polish every surface. We lived in Tribeca on a windswept portion of Greenwich Street. Out our windows, we could see a sushi den, a dive bar, and a coffee shop owned by Hugh Jackman. Our building was a brick high-rise, 34 floors, concrete accents, the brutalist design at odds with the modern lofts and converted warehouses around it. To us, the apartment was an acropolis, one we occupied by stupid luck. The amenities were beyond our scope of experience. Stainless steel appliances, blonde hardwood floors, a bathroom with a shower wand. A door opened to a private terrace off our living room with views of downtown Manhattan. Each morning, we stepped outside and watched the Freedom Tower rise up pane by pane. First a pole of spires and stents, then a half-dressed obelisk, then, with its glass coat spiraling to the top day by day, a patriotic mirror in the sky. At 8 p.m., the ice company arrived with a carved ice luge. Two men in Carhartt jackets wheeled it to the terrace and removed the cold block from a taped-up blanket. "This is the seventh one we've delivered tonight," said one of the men to my roommate Chauvin. "And here we thought we were special," he replied. The man pressed a button and the luge lit up. The words "Merry Christmas" glowed in a pantheon of dissolving colors. "You are," he said. It was unseasonably mild that night. 55 degrees, humid, a light mist ghosting the street. Our apartment was dim and cozy, illuminated only by the Christmas lights that we'd strung across the ceiling. I poured cider into a pot on the stove. Chauvin added rum and cinnamon sticks. We set up the beer pong table in the foyer and moved the coffee table for dancing, hung mistletoe for good luck. Evan and Chauvin both had girlfriends. I figured I'd find someone soon. I didn't have my eye on anyone in particular that night. Since moving to the city, I'd hooked up with a handful of girls and quasi-dated one. Her name was Shelley. It was short-lived, and she unfriended me on Facebook.